Welcome to Take the Red Pill,
where we explore the realities within our reality.
We are your hosts, David Deere
and Donald Dalton.
So this episode, we're going to be talking about angels and spirit guides and ascended masters. So Donald, I know that you do work with these energies. So you want to tell us a little bit about your experiences personally or just in your work with these energies?
For the longest time, I've worked with my guides, my higher self, and probably some angels, though I haven't called on them as specifically all the time. And I have found with the healing work that I do, there is a definite different frequency that comes about, and there is a different kind of a healing that comes about. It's a much different feel from my perspective, and I think it's a much different feel from the person that I'm working with's perspective as well. I find that angels are an energy that I haven't worked with a lot, but every so often it's just like, oh, we're working with angel energy. Okay, cool. Which one? All right, there we go. I mainly focus, work most with my higher self and my guides, which I'm starting to kind of feel like they're kind of one and the same. So that's kind of how I use them with what I do.
Well, how would you differentiate those? In other words, how do you know the difference between the energy of what would be angels versus what would be your guides versus what would be your higher self?
Well, to answer that question, I'd have to ask you a question of how do you know the difference between happiness and joy, mild interest, or, you know, even sadness? There's just a definite difference where it's, for me, it's much more difficult to explain, but when I'm working with angels, it's much more of a solid energy. It's much more rock energy, and that's the only thing that I can really think of. Working with my guides and my higher self is more of an airy, watery, flowy type energy.
Well, one of my questions is, okay, well, I have a couple of questions. How are you able to identify the energy with that particular essence? For example, how did you know that that solid rock energy, as you described, was an angel energy versus a guide energy or versus an air conditioning that was kind of out of phase or something? and then how would you describe that energy? Because a lot of people don't understand what that means. And they're saying an energy, you know, well, energy, you know, you turn on a light and energy makes it go, you know.
I see where you're coming from now. When I first started doing healing work, I did not really have a lot of communication with my guides consciously. And that was when I first started doing Reiki. A few years later, when I worked with my mentor, Jan, then she helped me to consciously be aware of, oh, this is when I'm talking with my guides. And for a while, it felt like just regular mind chatter. Like, you know, you have a thought here, like, oh, maybe I should go down to the store right now and pick up some supplies or some food or whatever. You know, it's just normal mind chatter. It sounded a lot like that. And then I was just like, how do I differentiate between, you know, what's my normal mind chatter to what are my guides telling me? And it took a little while before I decided, you know, I need a definite, absolute, specific way to know when my guides are talking to me as opposed to when they're not. I basically set up a thing where if it was my guides talking to me specifically, that I would do kind of a Tourette's tick. I'd have a quick inhale through my nose and my head would turn very quickly to the left or right. Normally to the left. And basically I set it up with my guides that would be like, okay, when this happens, just when we're talking about spiritual matters and working with people, then this is you talking and I will understand that is you talking.
It's kind of like a shave it, a haircut, knock on the door, kind of like, right? That?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, and after a little while of working with it that way, I actually was able to start to distinguish, okay, this is my mind chatter here, and this is my actual higher self or guides talking to me here. And I'll tell you, it's a very subtle difference in energy with there. Now, when I mentioned earlier with the angels, that was more of a calling specifically on a specific angel and then feeling the energy come in. Mm-hmm. You know, that was more of a contrast between, okay, this is how we are without an angel energy, and this is how we are with this specific angel energy. Okay. And that was like night and day to me.
Yeah, so in other words, it would be like, as if for somebody who wouldn't understand what that means, that energy, it would be like the way you feel when you get a hot flash, for example. I'm not saying that that's what it feels like. I'm not saying, you know, you experience angel contact when you're going through menopause. That's not what I'm saying.
Everyone who is metaphysically endowed is going through menopause, David. Yes, I understand. That's totally what you mean.
Yeah, I know, right? What are you saying? No, what I'm just trying to give as close as I can get as far as a physical sensation. For some people, it is a physical sensation. I know it's a little beyond that in a lot of cases, though, but I'm just trying to say, all right, so you know what it's like when you have a hot flash and you know what it's like when you don't. You can see the difference. And I think for what I'm understanding you saying is the energy, the angelic energy, is like that kind of difference.
Yeah, angelic energy for me is like being out by a pool in like the middle of dead of winter at one of these ski resorts, and then you're freezing, and then all of a sudden you jump into the heated pool and it's like, oh, nice and warm and comforting, and it's just like, this is so much better. And then you get out of the pool and you're like, I'm freezing, and you could tell a significant difference that way. I'm mainly more of an emotional person and a mental person, so I hear, yes, I'm mental. So I sense things more in a thought and emotion sense than a physical sense.
Okay. It's more internal, I think you're saying.
For me,
the analogy you're using here is an external sensation, where it's more internal, that kind of sense that you're describing as far as that energy coming in.
Yeah, and you're correct. There are people that are much more physical that have actual physical sensations when they're working with different energies, such as their higher self, their guides, or even, you know, angels. Or one thing we hadn't mentioned yet, ascended masters. It depends on how you're set up with how you interpret that kind of energy.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, it's because everybody's unique and everybody's going to have a different perception of that based on kind of their own energy bodies and signatures and stuff.
Yeah, it's like you go to a movie with 100 different people. You know, 100 people have different views of, well, they liked this part of it, but they didn't like that part of it. And, you know, same thing with this type of stuff. You'll feel it differently. You'll perceive it differently. You'll have different attitudes about it, all that kind of stuff.
So let's talk about the difference between these. Difference between an angel versus a guide versus higher self versus an ascended master.
One's orange and one's red. One's blue. No, I'm teasing.
What is this, like spirituality by numbers?
No, by colors, David.
Oh, by colors, okay.
If we did numbers, one would be three, one would be
Well, you know, you have the paint by numbers. That's what why I'm thinking of that.
Okay, so if we're trying to define the differences between all these energies, I haven't really worked consciously that I'm aware of with ascended masters, so I don't really have a lot of firsthand information working with that kind of energy. With angels, that comes from more of a religious background. We have generation after generation after generation going back thousands of years where people have put a belief into this type of energy, and so therefore it's created it into a certain type of energy for whatever you're using it for. Like, you know, Archangel Michael, you know, he's kind of a protector, kind of a warrior type energy. If you were connecting with that, that would be more for of a protection type energy. Since people have put so much energy and through time for millennia after millennia, that's a kind of energy that you can call on that is totally in our DNA that we can connect with very easily. Your higher self or your guides, well, let's take your guides. Your guides are kind of like...
Take my guides.
Oh, shit. Oh, I think you're going to get spiritually slapped if you say that.
I think they think it's funny.
Oh yeah, my guides would not be so humorous. I don't know, they might. But spiritual energies that we've talked about in the past, where before you incarnate, you know, before you into this lifetime, you have people and energies and entities that are here to help you accomplish what you want to accomplish. It's kind of like when you go to school, you have teachers and professors, and you have academic counselors that can help you decide, okay, what classes should you take? Where do you want to go? Then you have teachers that say, okay, here's this subject. We're going to, you know, for this semester, this quarter, we're going to really get into this area right here. Guides are kind of like wherever you are in your lifetime, they're kind of like your professors saying, okay. Well, actually, I think they're more like your academic advisors, where, you know, every so often they're like, well, if you want to do this by this age or by this time, then you'll want to go over here.
Now, can you get a bad advice from a guide?
That's a good question, because there are a lot of people that say that you can. And the difference is, from my understanding, most guides, not all of them, most guides have never had a physical body and lived on the physical plane. Some of them have. And the ones that have not, they see your life from a certain perspective. You know, it's like, oh, you had a bad day at work. Don't worry about it. That's the bigger picture is you're moving. We're not focusing on one day. We're focusing on this whole decade. And this one day is, we see that it's causing you a little bit of trouble, but come on, stay on track. Whereas the guides that have actually had physical incarnations and been on Earth or any other planet, they have a much better understanding of, yeah, a bad day at work or, you know, something like that can really throw you for a loop. And they can be like, all right, just take a breath, you know, calm down. Let's switch this energy around, go out and party a little bit, or, you know, whatever, watch a movie that gives you a sense of well-being. And, you know, let's switch this from a negative energy to a more positive energy. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And then ascended masters. Well, those are basically people who have reached a certain level spiritually while they had a physical body. They've ascended. They've moved on to higher planes of existence, as you might expect. From my understanding, they work more with the whole population, the whole globe, the whole race, as opposed to individuals. But at the same time, to work with the whole race, they have to every so often tweak certain individuals here and there.
Okay.
So, and that's my definitions. Anyway, is that close to what you have, or is that different?
Well, it's similar. I mean, there are some similarities. There is a few differences. I mean, and again, just like the caveat you always throw out there through this conversation, I mean, I have understandings of them. I don't think there's any right answers as far as this goes. This is just kind of my belief system.
Mm-hmm.
To associate angels purely with religion, I think they get a bad rap because they get tied to religion. I always think of angels as kind of the architects of energy, I guess I would say.
Hmm.
They're kind of the masters of the energies that have helped to form the universe. You know, it's kind of a trickle down theory. I think it's too myopic to categorize them so easily. Well, they're, you know, they have red cheeks and big wings and all that stuff. You know? And also, I think it's hard to say, well, they're just this big, giant spiritual energy. I do believe that an angelic energy is one that's never incarnated in a human form.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I do believe that they can take a human form for a moment, for a task.
Oh, yeah.
I don't believe that they're actually, you know, have lived a full incarnation.
Kind of like the movie Michael with...
I never saw that movie.
Oh, what's...
I know we mentioned it in the in the movies podcast.
Yeah, John Travolta.
Right.
Movie Michael. And yeah, he came down for just, I think, maybe a week. He had a physical body, but he still had a little bit of angel energy. The whole thing was, yeah, every few thousand years or so, I get some time off. And this is what I'm choosing to do with it right now. And I'm not going to spoil it for anyone who hasn't seen it, because it's really a really good movie. Yeah, he has an effect with the people that he interacts with, and it's it's a really heart-touching, heartwarming story. But yeah,
Johnny boy.
I agree with you. The whole thing with angel energy and, you know, religion, it does kind of have a stigma to it, and for some healers, it keeps them from even attempting to do the whole angel energy stuff. And I remember one time when my mentor Jan and I were working, and she was just like, "So, I'm going to be using some angel energy. Do you have any problem with that?" And I was like, "Nah. Well, I do it, but I did a little bit, but I said, nah, we'll just go with it." So, is your definition of guides similar, or would that be different as well?
I think guides are as various as the day's long. Yeah, there are schools of thoughts that say you have seven guides. You have one guide throughout your whole life. I don't believe there's a set number. I don't think you get like a quorum or anything like that. I you know, you have like an audition line, you know, interviews. There's out in the hall. I'm sorry, but we're all filled up. We've got seven guides now. But you might want to try the guy down there. He needs some spiritual guidance, you know. So I don't think it really works that way. You know, I think they're all energy. You know, it's interesting that there are a lot of people who they see their guides and they meet their guides and they say, well, you know, my guide was this Native American, which is pretty common, you know, and a lot of people actually blow it off by that. Why is everybody's guide a Native American, you know? I think that's pretty common because the spirit of this land has been saturated with the Native American culture. So when you kind of call on that energy, you're calling on the energy of the inhabitants that once were here way longer than we were here, way longer than the Europeans that came out and just, you know, yanked everything out from everybody. So I think that energy is very pervasive, and it's not going to be uncommon to really tap into that kind of energy for a guide because it's an energy that is connected to this very land. But I do believe that when people see a persona, their guides in a persona, like the you know, the Asian, you know, master or whatever, it's because it helps them to identify. I think a lot of people do need that personification, that, you know, to really be able to connect to something, because just the idea of energy is a little too out there. You know, what do you mean connect to energy? So, well, so for your own benefit, you get a face and a name if you need it, so that you can really relate to the guide.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think sometimes it's that energy will kind of insist that you take that on because it needs you to be able to connect to the guide so that you can hear whatever it is, messages the guides have for you. There are a lot of guides that have had incarnations, a tremendous amount of them that have had incarnations on this earth. And I believe that they're there to help people through the earthly existence because they've had experience in it. I think that we attract guides that resonate with a specific goal or specific experience or a specific challenge that we're going through. I also believe that there are guides that have not had an incarnation, that they're just kind of an energy, they're just kind of another type of energy that has not had experience. And those kind of guides may be have a lot of, you know, they talk about Lemurian guides being like that, or guides that may have kind of wisdom of the universe, and it applies in a different way to kind of like a higher way of thinking than maybe the earth guides might have. Not higher in a judgment sense, but.
Mm-hmm. I have to disagree a little bit with the idea of guides showing up as Native Americans because of the energy of the land. To me, that's a whole nother entity right there. I do agree with you where, you know, the mind needs to simplify things to where it makes sense. And a lot of people figure that when they're getting very spiritual, Native Americans are very spiritual. So therefore, if I'm meeting my guides, you know, might as well be a Native American because that's just, that's a way for me to connect spiritually. If you're connecting specifically with the energy of the land and the energy of a culture, to me, that's not necessarily connecting with your guides. That's connecting with the energy of that, with that culture and with that whole thing right there. And to me, specifically, that's a much different way of doing it than connecting with your actual guides yourselves, because your guides can be your guides are basically there. They don't have any necessarily cultural or social problems or hang-ups or anything like that. And so attributing them and seeing them in a certain way, just because that's the best way to, that's the only way that makes sense to you, I think that then attributes them to certain things that they can and can't do. And if you have a certain life path, it has you go into places that where you need to overcome some of your fears. Let's say you have a Native American princess who basically is your guide. You attribute all these things to that culture and everything. If you need to go through a certain thing to overcome a certain fear to become you know, a stronger person so that you can continue on to your next step, then would you attribute that Native American princess as putting you in harm's way?
I don't understand what you mean about putting you in harm's way. I mean, are you saying that there would be a guide that would put you in harm's way?
Not in harm's way from their perspective, but okay, we all have fears, right? Mm-hmm. So one of the things that guides allow us to do is have experiences that allow us to work through our fears and also have experiences to, you know, have, you know, experience joy and all these other things. And it, what I'm saying is if you have a persona of a guide that is meant to help you overcome some of your fears, and you don't see them as somebody that would put you in a place that would allow you to feel those fears or experience those fears, then you're kind of keeping yourself in a box. Kind of like if you take the flip side of the coin, if you have a persona of a guide that won't allow you to go past a certain experience of, you know, joy. When you meet this guide, let's say when you're 22, you can only foresee a certain amount, a level of happiness and joy, but then you hit 35 or 40, your perception of how much joy and happiness you can actually have has expanded, but yet you still have this guide that says you can only, you know, experience so much from when you were 22. So therefore, they won't guide your, they won't, that energy, that entity, if you will play right into what you're saying, where it won't let you experience anything more than what you're consciously and feel and subconsciously unwilling to take on.
See, you know, I you have to forgive me for this, but the language of that, I have trouble with the language of your guide not letting you do something, because my personal belief on guides is that a guide cannot and will not, at least a higher vibration one, will not interfere with your free will and can't.
Oh, no.
And in fact, that we're so blessed with our free will that there's really nothing a guide can do. I mean, it's like what we talked about in the power episode where we said, you know, you have your own free will and it boils down to that. And you still have ultimate choice. And so that's why I'm having some trouble with...
I know exactly where you're coming from. And I'm not saying that they will possess you and, you know, force you to do this or that. No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying that they're there to guide you. If you sent them the memo that says, I don't want to experience anything beyond this level of, you know, whatever, regardless of whether it's in my best benefit or not, then guides will say, oh, okay, you know, because it is your free will, it is your choice. And if you send that out to them, then you're basically saying, look, I don't care if it stunts my spiritual growth, whatever, I don't want to go past this level of experience in this one area. And what I'm saying is taking that to the next level, where if you have a persona such as a Native American guide that makes it easier for you to connect with them, then you are attributing certain energies, certain things that persona will allow you to do and will not allow you to do, which is basically can or cannot guide you to experiences that stunt your growth or increase your growth. Does that make more sense?
No. Sorry. Okay, let me see. Let me try to see if I understand what you're saying, because I'm really having a lot of trouble with it. Okay. What you're saying is that a guide is not going to come in a form that is not going to support what you're trying to do. Is that what you're saying?
From what you wanted to do, from what your soul wants to do from when before you incarnated, correct?
Oh, okay. That makes sense. Well, so then the question should be asked, isn't it our perception of what form the guides come in? I mean, I say that there's a certain energy. When I talk about like a guide taking on the form of an energy based on the land that we're on, I mean, think about it. We here don't see Aboriginal guides, you know, from Australia, for example, because we don't have any connection to Australia. So why is that going to be the prevalent form that we see a guide in? You know, I think when we're talking about the forms that our guides take, it's, to me, that's the most trivial part of it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because from my understanding, a guide's just like, you know what, I'll look like whatever you need me to look like, and I'll you can call me Sam or you can call me Jane. I don't really care. But I just want to get this message to you, you know?
I agree.
So I think we might be talking about minutia when we're talking about what forms the guides come in, but I don't want to dismiss your point. I think if I understand you correctly, you're going to have the guide appear to you in a way that is going to be of the most greatest benefit to you.
Yeah. And
yeah, in other words, if you need to slay a dragon psychically, you're not going to have a little 8-year-old boy with a wrist rocket. Is that what your point is?
Yeah, you'll probably have somebody that appears to you.
Or
like
8-year-old girl, like, I should say. I don't know. Whatever you consider like the weakest thing possible.
Yeah, like a knight in shining armor would probably show up then.
Exactly. So that's what your point is, right?
Yeah, but the thing is, let's say that your psychic dragon is one of your big fears from whatever, from like your early life or your past life or whatever. When you go and meet your guides, you don't want to see anything negative. And, you know, a sword has that archetypal symbology of like war and death and, you know, everything. So you create this 8-year-old girl or whatever as being one of your guides. How are you able to slay your psychic dragon with an 8-year-old girl? You're going to run into trouble.
Well, and that's the thing about it is because guides are energy and they have a certain energy resonance, and that particular energy resonance is appropriate for whatever challenge that you're going to be facing. Imagine talking to a guy on the phone and the guy talks like this, you know, so you feel his big, broad energy when you talk to him on the phone. You know, in your mind, what you're going to picture is you're going to picture this guy who looks like, you know, what is it, Bluto or whatever it is from Popeye?
Oh, yeah.
You know, you might picture a guy that looks like that. You're not going to picture olive oil. So what I'm saying is that that's the energy that came through to you on the phone, and you put the picture that's appropriate for you. A guide's coming to you, and the guide's like, you know, I'm here to help you conquer this psychic dragon, right? So the energy of a guide that can and is able to help you conquer a psychic dragon is going to be an energy that you will need to accept. So what it's going to do is to be able to help you, it's going to exude that kind of energy or be appropriate kind of energy that you would accept to be able to take on that particular challenge.
And I agree with you completely. My whole point with this whole thing with the persona of guides that you had mentioned is it's kind of like when people started looking into their past lives, you know, and that became a big movement. And you know, it's like, oh, I was Cleopatra. Oh, I was Alexander the Great. Oh, I was, you know, this person. I was like, so what about the other, you know, thousands and thousands of
people?
Yeah,
they weren't like Jerry the Serb.
Yeah, exactly. So that's kind of my point right there. It's like if you're allowing yourself to be honest with yourself when you're meeting your guides and have a real relationship with them instead of a fantasy relationship with them, they will take on any form that, you know, is best matched for whatever experience you're going through or what you're about to go through.
Right.
Whereas if you're still in that fantasy thing, it's like, ooh, I get to meet my God, sweet! My God is big, tall, and handsome, or you might say my other God is like sweet and sexy and, you know, like the girl next door, and, you know, that's kind of like saying, I was Cleopatra, you know, I was Caesar, you know, I was Akhenaten in Egypt or whatever. It's like, okay, so that's staying in the fantasy, which means you're creating that persona, and that's what I was getting on when you said where Native American persona comes up a lot, which is a connection with the cultural part of, you know, America and a cultural part of the land. For the past few hundred years or few thousand years, us Europeans have only been here for a few hundred years.
Yeah.
That's what I was getting at is you have to be a little more honest with yourself and not allow yourself to fall into the fantasy of, you know, what your guide might look like or what you want them to look like and say, okay, show me yourself. And instead of like, I would like you to look like this. I would like you to have this and that, this attribute and this attribute and this attribute.
Well, I think if a person's at that point where they're actually giving these really romanticized attributes to their guides, that may all be well and good, and their guides might be like, whatever it takes, whatever you need. Mm-hmm. If that's going to work for you, go for it. You know, a lot of guides would basically kind of put a cross. I think the difference is that, you know, I don't think that that's as relevant. What's really relevant is what kind of messages you're getting.
Yeah.
And what you're doing with those messages. And not to bury your point, because your point's a very good one. The point, I think, to actually add to your point, we have to be careful that we're not playing from an ego area rather than when we're giving it to them. Because what happens is if we're trying to say, you know, give all this great importance to the grandeur of our guides, then the message we hear is A, going to become distorted, or two, we're not going to be able to differentiate, like what you talked about. We're not going to be able to differentiate between what is our ego and what is actually a message from our higher self or from a higher vibration.
And then the whole concept and idea of your guides guiding you becomes distorted.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And then, you know, people can be like, well, my guides must be on vacation or something because they're not helping me. Like, no, you just weren't listening the right way.
Right.
I like that term that you, how you put that, where it's the whole ego coming in and overshadowing the messages from your guides.
So let's talk about how to differentiate that.
With a flashlight and a watermelon. I don't know.
Flashlight and a watermelon? Yeah. You're playing some kind of weird scavenger hunt game. It's you know, I need a guide for a scavenger hunt. What's on your list? Your guide says a flashlight and a watermelon and a toupee.
Well, I was
that's red.
I was thinking if you have a watermelon, that's going to allow you to eat. And if you run into any difficulties, you can always spit the watermelon seeds at whatever you're... I don't know.
I'm going to have trouble. I don't like watermelon at all.
I'm not a big fan of watermelon either, but...
I don't get it.
It popped in my head, and I was like, let's go with it.
Well, you got your guys to blame for that, don't you? Let's give him watermelon. Let's see what he does with it.
Yeah, him and David are having this really cool conversation about guides and something we know something about. Like, let's tease him a little bit, like, 'cause this is going on recording. You know, thousands and hundreds of thousands of people are going to hear this over time and everything. Like, yeah, let's see what happens with this.
Yeah, right.
But how do you tell the difference between ego and messages from your guides? And for me, well, you know, like I said earlier, I had a really difficult time distinguishing between those two. I had to create something with my guides that I knew beyond a doubt that it was them talking, and circumvent the ego of, you know, what might be going on in my head.
Oh, you're talking about your hair shaving haircut thing.
Yeah, yeah.
The tick you talked about.
Yeah. Okay. And for me, that's probably a little more expressive than a lot of people would be comfortable with. You could have anything going, like you have your nose start to itch or something, anything that doesn't happen on a regular basis, you know. And for me, that was one way that I knew how to do it. Now, are there other ways to do it? Probably, but I wouldn't really know what would be a good way to do that.
Well, I think what you're looking for is you're looking for a trigger of some sort. I mean, I've had that. I mean, when I first started working with guides, I actually kind of had this thing where I always call it it's the A1 indicator. There was a guy on the A1 commercial who says, get your hand right here. You know? I don't know if you remember that guy.
No, I don't.
And he always, it's kind of weird. He always pointed, like, you know, where your jawbone meets your neck just under your ear.
Mm-hmm.
He says, get you here. And he points to one side, and then he uses two fingers to point to either side. And here. I'm like, but didn't you already indicate that one side already? But either, anyway, so the get you here, you know, that little part where the jaw meets just under the ear, I'd feel this kind of little tingle there. But the thing is it wasn't more like, you know, what I did was I had to kind of create that. I didn't go, oh, well, you know, I'm feeling tingling. You know, it was just like I kind of did this, all right, you know, nod your head once for yes and two for no. It was that kind of thing for me. It was like, all right, can you back this up? And if I got the tingling there, it was backed up. And if I didn't, it wasn't. But, you know, the thing about that is I find that for me personally, because it, like you said, with guides, with the voices in your head kind of thing, is a lot of times it's hard to differentiate between what's your own mental chatter. Some of that mental chatter is, you know, a higher vibration message, and some of it's just your ego, blah, 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 you know. And for me, it was just a matter of, all right, is this coming from my head or from my heart? Is this an ego-based thing, or is it, you know, what's really for the greatest good thing? What made it tricky to differentiate is, as I would say, you know, I would never get bad advice from my guides. But what does that mean? I mean, to say that, you know, you might get advice that might lead you somewhere, and you may not like the way it leads you, but it really is an excellent opportunity for your growth.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, you know, it's be careful what you wish for kind of thing. Or, you know, if I'm a non-corporeal consciousness, you know, of a very high vibration, and the growth of your soul is paramount, you know, I'm not going to worry about, you know, if you have to skip, you know, 6 days worth of meals, if that's what that means, I'm going to be like, oh, skip 6 days worth of meals. You'll be fine. You know, I don't, you know, and a guide's not going to lead you to your death, and a guide's not going to have you cause harm to other people. And a guides, I should say, because usually there's, I think my belief is there's a bunch working at all times, just in so many different ways. But I think there's, it's just a matter of being open. It's a matter of being really prudent. I mean, to ever say, well, my guides told me to do this because you did something stupid, it is in itself, of itself, ridiculous thing to do. Because you have free will, you know, and if you examine the messages, you'll understand if those messages are really coming from a high vibrational place or if they're coming from a place of ego. You know, in other words, if you get a suggestion on a little bit of guidance, let me say, if you get guidance on taking a particular action or making a particular choice, is this choice made so you can appear a certain way in front of other people? Is this a choice made for you to save face? Is it a choice made? I mean, if you ask deliberately, what can I do to impress so-and-so? You know, you may get an answer. Or you may not, I don't know. But that then it would be pointed. But if you give a, if you get guidance, and the guidance you get is basically leading to make you look good in front of a bunch of people or save face in this way, it's I'm not going to say guaranteed it's not, but it's the odds are it's probably not from a higher vibration source.
Exactly. I agree with you to the point where unless that is within your highest interest to look a certain way so that you'll meet a certain people and have a certain impression, which will continue you on to have more experiences that are will lead you to the goals that will allow you to advance spiritually and grow spiritually that you want to have. Does that make sense?
Right. Oh, yeah, completely.
So,
yeah.
So we've rushed over a couple times, but because we really got into this whole thing of, you know, okay, what do guides do and what do guides not do? But the whole idea of, you know, how many guides? I can just see some people, you know, like, well, I got 15. Like, oh yeah, that ain't nothing. I'm 42 and I have 80, I have 83 that I've counted and, you know, I've gotten messages from. Like, oh, now we're having guide envy.
Yeah, exactly. Santa Anna and his army is basically your guides. You know?
Yeah, but yeah. I mean, for me personally, my belief system is that you have maybe one or two, maybe three guides that are with you your whole life from birth to death, and then you have other guides that come in and out at different times in your life through different experiences that have more specialties in kind of like wherever you're working at to allow your spiritual growth. In that case, under that belief system, it basically says you always have at least one guide with you at all times. Mm-hmm. And it also says that you can have as many guides that you need at any one moment there to help you.
Right.
And I think this is probably where it starts to blur the lines between angels and guides when you're in a life-threatening issue, a life-threatening experience, and it's not your time. Mm-hmm. Then you survive, and people say, oh, you know, when I blacked out and I saw these, you know, angels, they had this conversation with me, or, you know, they said it wasn't my time and they sent me back and I didn't want to come. Or, I mean, we've heard stories like that before. Mm-hmm. And I think it's one of those areas where your guides can become angels, or at least appear to us to have that kind of energy.
You don't believe that the guides are angels at that point?
See, I don't know. That's still one of the things that I'm working on, because for me, it's angels are a specific energy to me when I'm working with them consciously. Mm-hmm. But if you're in a life-threatening situation like a car wreck or something like that, or drowning, mm-hmm. Or anything like that, where, you know, you either have an out-of-body experience or near-death experience or something like that, then I think if it's not your time to go and you have a lot more to do, then your guides, with, you know, in concert with angels, can, you know, keep you alive until help has arrived, or get the message out somewhere to somebody that, you know, like somebody, a complete stranger, is just like, I need to why do I have an overwhelming desire to go drive over here? And, you know, it could be like 11 o'clock at night, 11:30 at night, and all of a sudden, like, they listen to it. And, you know, all of a sudden, for whatever reason, you know, you had gotten in a car wreck like 3 minutes before they arrived, and they had their cell phone, and then they were able to get people to you before you expired. And mm-hmm. I think that person's guides talking with your guides, or, you know, like I said in the beginning, I'm starting to see higher self, the terminology for higher self and guides, to actually become more synonymous with it, one and the same. Since we're all connected, that kind of a thing where you needed help, somebody was available to help, that message, they were tweaked with by their higher self or their guides to be in a certain place at a certain time to help you, mm-hmm. as well as angels sitting there and, you know, helping you to make sure that that message got through. No ifs, ands, or buts, that message definitely got through, and therefore you were able to have assistance as opposed to not.
Well, there's all sorts of stories about angels playing interference for, you know, for the benefit of a person, usually in a life-saving situation where, you know, they go and, you know, somebody shows up just at the right time and they seem like an ordinary person, and then come to find out that nobody even knows who this person was.
Exactly.
When you go to follow up on it. I mean, there's tons of stories like that.
To me, that would be a perfect example of an angel.
Right, exactly. I agree with that.
Your guides can actually be there and call on angel energy for you in certain experiences. But this starts to cross the line here, where if you make the choices that lead to you being in a death-defying situation, to get yourself out of that, aren't the angels or your guides going against your free will of the choices that you made, of your responsibility?
You know, here's the thing about it. I think that the choice you make, there's a lot of factors that come to play in the environment that can affect you in that choice. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, like, you make a choice, and of course there's all this echoing reverberation of events, but sometimes, you know, because this universe is so varied and myriad, you know, something can take a turn where, you know, your higher self has a lot more for you to do, you know, as far as for your own spiritual growth in this existence, on this plane, mm-hmm. than you would be able to do if you had died early, if you expired early. Because time and time again, you hear these people that have these NDEs, or they have this experience when they meet with the angels, and they say that you have yet more to do. You have many more lives to touch, and you have much more to learn, and you have much more to affect this is not your time. But interestingly enough, from the stories I've heard, you get a choice still.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're kind of talking about some of the past life stuff or the afterlife stuff like we did in the earlier. But that you know, they say, you know, you can go back and you don't have to, but usually they just pose you a really good argument.
Yeah.
Because most people are like, this is beautiful. Oh, I don't want to leave. This is amazing. I feel so much love. I've never felt this pure, great love in my life. I feel so peace. And they're like, you got to go back. You're like, and they're like, no. You got to go back. And you just begrudgingly, all right, if it's for the greater good, I'll go back. And then you end up back in your body and you're in all this wrenching pain. And you're like, what the hell was I thinking? But so that's my understanding. And you know, a lot of these people describe them as these great spirits or this great angelic energy. I think, unfortunately, like we talked about at the top of the show, when people say angels, all of a sudden you're thinking of God and you're thinking of Bible and all that other stuff, rather than, to me, which are these just tremendous universal energies that, you know, really understand this, the greater workings and schemes of how the universe works and our place in it.
Yeah.
So,
and just to add another different flavor, when you were talking,
just don't make it watermelon.
No.
I don't like the flavor of watermelon.
Okay, what about raspberries?
I love raspberries.
Sweet!
Go for it.
But one of the stories that my mother told me when I was in my early 20s is that she had an experience that was very similar. And this was very interesting. To preface it, I'm going to say that I have one other sibling, you know, a sister. So, you know, my parents had a total of two children. The story that my mom says, as it was related to me, is I think she was like 16, something like that. And she got in a car wreck with some friends. And her whole experience, from how she described it, is she came to this, what felt like, you know, the edge of a cliff. And kind of like this huge crevice that she was at the precipice of. She said all of a sudden she felt, you know, two voices, two energies, two, you know, beings beside her, and they basically said, look, you can go across here, that'll be the end of this life, you know. Mm-hmm. Or you can go back and have stuff to do. You know, my mom said that she thought about it for a moment, and then she's just like, well, okay, I guess I'll go back. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm only 15 or 16. I can't remember how old she said she was. She went on with her life from there. Now, at 15 or 16, I don't think she realized it, but being much older and having two children, when I heard the story for the first time, I was just like, whoa, hold on. I got the very, you know, overwhelming, strong sense that was my sister and I saying, yo, mom, mm-hmm. We ain't going to tell you what to do or nothing, but, you know, if you want to go back and everything, we'll hang out with you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we wouldn't mind being your offspring or whatever. And so I think that, you know, that's also a possibility that people meet, you know, beings in the afterlife or near afterlife, that they could be future children, future people, future whatever.
Right.
To me, that is an experience or a thought that I never had considered before.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I mean, that's a possibility. I mean, that's a lot of what we talk about in the afterlife episode. And the past lives episode as well. I think more so in the afterlife episode. At the same time, like what you were saying earlier, you definitely know when those people have kind of temporarily, not completely crossed over, but they're about to, and they say that there's this kind of great love and angelic energy.
Oh yeah.
They know it when they see it. It's kind of like what you said. You know, when you know happiness when you experience it. You know sadness when you experience it. You know, these people know these angelic energies when they're right in face with it. I mean, there are other people who, you know, we've met people who don't have such subtlety in their communication.
Mm-hmm.
That, like you and I said, you know, it's a matter of all that chatter, and it's just a matter of separating the wheat from the chaff. But there are people who are like, oh yeah, this is undoubtedly not my voice, and this is undoubtedly not mine. Or they say, you know, my angels are speaking to me, and you know, they have that very clear sense of that separate energy coming through them, as opposed to just, you know, trying to figure out, is that my ego or is that my heart?
Yeah. Now that brings up another interesting thing. Since we do have an ego, and those people that aren't really into, you know, exploring their spiritual growth as in-depthly as, you know, others, and, you know, basically will never consciously say, I will go and meet my guides or whatever because, you know, my wife or husband or boyfriend or girlfriend, you know, just that's what they're doing, that's what they're into, and okay, whatever. They wrote me into it. But if from them...
Meeting you guys peer pressure-wise.
Yeah. Yeah. I think for people that don't, you know, go out and seek out spiritual growth and will eventually meet their guides. Guides are always talking to you regardless.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless. I mean, I had a friend that was doing a cross-country trip, and it wasn't me because I've gone across country a couple times recently myself. But I can't remember what they said, but they got some kind of message about something, and you know, they were asking me when I was doing one of my one of my sessions, like, could that have been my guide telling me to think about that or pay attention to that? And I was like, yeah. You know, and I was like, well, it didn't feel like my guide. Well, what did it feel like? It felt like, you know, it felt like me just thinking.
Your intuition, your conscious, your gut.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Your internal guidance system. And so for people that pay attention, even if you don't search out and to meet your guides, you learn to find that differentiation between, you know, what is this desire I have? What is this action I plan to take? What is this thought I'm having? Is it something that is just like from emotions or chemicals that I'm having, you know, in my brain? Or is this like spiritual intuition? Or is this something that's good for me? A lot of people have to do, that comes up with stuff like, should I go to college? Should I take this job? Should I marry this person? Should we have kids? You know, a lot of times that's when those kind of things come up. And from friends that I've talked to, when they ask those kinds of questions, even if they're not consciously aware that they're communicating with their guides, you know, they'll get an answer like, should I go to college? Like, yes. Should I go to this college? No. Should I go to this college? Yes. And they say that it was a very subtle but distinct difference between a yes or a no.
Well, you know, it's interesting you said that about the way of people ask about their guides. And to address your point, I mean, Jackie, my wife, always says, well, yeah, what difference does it make? I mean, wherever the message, whatever you want to call the message, whether it be guides or angels or whatever, you know, if it's really from your heart and it's wisdom and it's wise, then, you know, isn't there merit to it?
Yeah.
And now to go into the point where you're talking about is for those people who really do want to pursue, you know, being able to get a little bit clearer communication, because some people don't know, you know, they'd say, you know, if I had some help that was, you know, had a little broader perspective on my life than I do when I'm having trouble making a decision, you know, I could really use some help.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems more helpful, whether you're just going with your intuition or whether you're actually communicating with your guides, whether it's just from your gut or your guides or your angels, whatever you want to choose.
Mm-hmm.
It always seems that you're actually empowering yourself more. And if you want to use the guides route, getting better communication from them, if you want to use your intuition, getting better communication from your intuition by asking what will be the effect of this choice versus what will be the effect of this choice. Because should I, you know, there's, well, yes and no, depending on what do you want to accomplish. I mean, should I get a college education? Well, yeah, if you want a job in this field, then yes. You know, should I get a college education? Well, you know, you've got 5 years to live, and it's going to take you 10 years to pay back the loan. Maybe not. You know, it's like, should I? Well, should you? Should we really do anything?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Should you feed your children?
Yeah.
Well, you know, yes, you should, people will say, you know, but at the same time, you know, then, should I buy the Chrysler? Or, you know, then what are we talking about here? I mean, when we're saying, okay, what is going to be the effect of the choice of doing this versus this, you see options laid out in front of you, and your intuition can guide you a little better because then it can give you more insight. This road will take you here, this road will take you there. Or if you're getting communication from your guides are more empowered and really want to be able to say, well, you know what, let's give you some help here. But if it's my personal feeling, yeah, I could be way off base on this, but my personal feeling is when you ask your guides, should I do this? Your guides are like, all right. You're going to get an answer and you're probably not going to get it because of the way you asked it. You know, I always think that to get the best answer, you have to ask the best question. And should I, to me, isn't always the best question.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that anything that is empowering to you creates a better communication between you and your guides and your higher self and your intuition, whichever, you know, word you want to use for it. Learning to ask in an empowering way is a really good exercise for me. I can see, like a lot of people, I can see good and pros and cons for any decision. And so me saying, should I, is kind of like, well, yes, you should. Well, okay, here's the reasons why you should, here's the reasons why you shouldn't. Like, okay, well, that doesn't help me. I'm right back in the same place, just like you were saying in your example. For me, one of the things I've started to do is like, okay, what is the feeling of, you know, taking this choice right here? Not even saying, will it be good for me? Will it be bad for me? It's like, how does making this choice feel? Mm-hmm. And then, okay, how does making this choice feel? And, you know, I spend probably about 30 seconds to a minute or two with each one, depending on what it was, to really get in touch with, you know, how does it make me feel? Mm-hmm. Whichever one feels best, and a lot of times both of them feel good, but mm-hmm. one feels slightly better than, like, one is pie and then one is pie with whipped cream on top.
Mm-hmm. Right, okay, yeah.
And, you know, they're both good. One just has a little bit more sweetness to it. And then the one that's the sweetest, like, okay, that is in my highest interest. That feels the best. That's where I'm going.
And I think what you made a good point there. It's like whatever's going to resonate with your passions, whatever's going to resonate with what really rings your bell, then I think that the guidance you get in that direction, how best can I accomplish this? You know, and if you don't know what your passion is, to me, it's like, ask the question. Just ask.
Yeah.
Whether you're asking your intuition or your guides, whatever, to me, the beauty of having the idea of guides is it encourages you to ask the questions. When you're going with your intuition, people are like, I don't want to talk to myself. I'm going to look like a nut job, or I'm going to feel like a nut job if I talk to myself. But there's something about speaking out loud the questions mm-hmm. and speaking out loud the, you know, oh, thanks. If you have an energy to give some props to, you know, thanks for helping me out with that, buddy.
Oh,
you know. When you do that, you can actually help give you guidance and create the answers for you because you're actually creating that energy more than if it's stuck in your mind. It stays kind of in that amorphous cloud. Yeah, granted, as you and I believe, the thoughts of it give it reality, but at the same time, you kind of cement the reality when you can put the sound waves and the vowels and all that other stuff around it. So I think formulating the questions out loud and having the guides to help really makes a big difference because you're actually, sometimes you need to ask the question because you don't know what you need to know. You don't even know what you want. Sometimes you have to say, okay, help me figure out what I want. Because if you know, a lot of people don't know what they want and they spend their time in that mud spinning their wheels rather than saying, you know what, I really want to find out what I want. Once you find out what you want, then it doesn't take it. It's more effortless going to that because you want it and that propels you.
I agree wholeheartedly. And you actually go through a little bit of this stuff in your blog. And can you tell listeners a little bit about that?
The blog I write, it's called I Am the Minister of Myself, which you can find at myownminister.wordpress.com. There's a link off of our Take the Red Pill podcast.com page. So check that. I have a few thoughts on just kind of my experiences of going through what I want.
As always, if you would like to sign up for a healing session or a coaching session, or would just like to, you know, have an objective, non-judgmental, view on whatever you're going through at the moment, feel free to contact me through dondalton.com.
And once again, we want to thank all of our listeners. Thank you very much. If you're new to the episode, we just take a look at our backlog of episodes on our website and hit the subscribe button on iTunes, or just keep downloading them from the website. And we really encourage feedback. Post it on the website. Give us feedback, what you want to hear, what you don't want to hear, what you like, what we're doing, anything. We don't care. We love it.
So for DonDalton.com, I am Donald Dalton, wishing you a life fantastic.
And I am David Deere. Let the angels kiss you goodnight.